Lenten Journey Day 30. Why Evil? Of all the questions that have plagued humankind, of all the questions that have demanded an answer, perhaps there is none greater than the question, why evil? Why is there evil in this world? If God is a good God, and if God is all-powerful, why does he allow evil? Why evil? Why do bad things happen? Why are there earthquakes? Why is there cancer? Why do we have to deal with so many tragedies in our life? And perhaps the greater question is, why does that evil seem to happen on innocent people? Why do the good suffer? We look at this question, or the entire problem of evil, today, in the aftermath of studying the parable of the judge and understanding the need to pray unceasingly, to put ego aside. Also, we look at this problem of evil today, on this 30th day of Lent. For in fact, we understand ourselves to be maturing in the spiritual growth process. Things look differently. Things are understood differently. And so I ask you once again to put away your preconceptions and really open your heart to an answer that is coming to us from the mere definition of God being love. In yesterday's journey, we were challenged to make our prayer life real, to really take responsibility for our lives through our prayers, that God is not some Santa Claus, Superman kind of person to whom we can give our list of demands and wants. Rather, we submit by saying, "Thy will be done. May it be your will that is actualized in our lives." And in so doing, we accept a new responsibility, a more mature outlook on our lives and our surroundings. For in fact, the Christian is called to a life of responsibility. If someone else is in charge of your life, you cannot take that responsibility. If it is someone else who is doing your work, it is not your fault. But the Christian stands firm and says that it is my doing. I accept the love that God has given me in my heart, and therefore I need to act on that love. Yesterday we mentioned that prayer is not only a conversation with God, but also a conversation with the self, to let ourselves know what our needs and our wants are. This is the idea of meditation, of secluding yourself, getting away from everything, and really having that honest conversation with yourself. What is it that I need in this life? Who am I? What special talents do I have that I can exploit? The question then comes up, if I am in charge of my life, how do I explain the big evils of life? Earthquakes that take away villages and towns, where thousands upon thousands of people are devastated. What about the evils of famine and war? More closely, more personal, what about illness that devastates families, that destroys relationships? What about cancer? What are these things? I am completely powerless, and as much as I pray about them, I know that they are not in my hand. How can I effectuate the change in these bigger illnesses, of these bigger types of evil? True, they are not individually in our hands. But this is where the power of the collective, of the church, comes in. For in fact, we believe with Christ all things are possible. We believe that love is more powerful than all the evil. And where is that love going to manifest itself but in the body of Christ? 2,000 years ago, we had the example. We had the manifestation. We had the incarnation of that love. And that incarnation we touched. and in so touching we were healed. That incarnation was taken up to a crucifixion, and we witnessed a resurrection. And if we accept this, we have to accept the entire package. The package says that I am with you to the end of the ages. In that package, we understand that we too, as Jesus says, have courage, the victory is mine. We too are worthy and capable of resurrecting from our crucifixions. And we can now have a different understanding of our surroundings, of our lives. For in fact, these earthquakes, these hurricanes, these catastrophes, these illnesses, these cancers are not the end. They are the crucifixions that we endure. For in fact, the Son of God endured. God did not prevent that cancer, that earthquake, that hurricane from trying to destroy love. Evil did try, but evil is all around. It's not a question of overcoming evil with more evil, but it's a question of enduring the evil with only one power, the only power that we have, with love. And in enduring, we find the resurrections in our lives. We see that generations are built upon that love that cannot crumble, that cannot be destroyed, neither through earthquake, famine, nor through the cancers of evil, hatred, bigotry that are all so consuming. You see, there is evil in this world, and God allows it. Even up on the cross. Does that make God powerless? We'll look at that question as we continue our Lenten journey during this season of prayer, as we look at our prayer lives, as we look at the idea of evil and the power of love. Today we conclude with a different type of prayer. It is an inspirational message. It is something I found a few years ago that brought a lot of comfort to a patient, and I wish to share it with you today. It has many, many applications. Please use it accordingly as a prayer for your lives. It is entitled, Cancer is So Powerless. Cancer is so powerless, it cannot cripple love. It cannot shatter hope. It cannot corrode faith. It cannot destroy peace, kill friendship, suppress memories, silence courage, invade the soul. It cannot steal eternal life. It cannot conquer the spirit. We confirm this by saying Amen. Let us also confirm it by saying that the real power in life is found in love. This is Father Voskin inviting you to join us again tomorrow as we take the next step in our Lenten journey. In the meantime, please join us at epostle.net where you'll find resources, you'll find podcasts and broadcasts for the Lenten journey as well as your spiritual journey through life. That's epostle.net, apostolic evangelism for an electronic and expanding universe.